Psalm 145. Tonight we will conclude the book of Psalms. It's been quite a while. I was trying to think. I think we've been here almost a year. And that's pretty amazing. This psalm was the last of David's known psalms. He may have written more, but we don't know for sure. It is an acrostic psalm, meaning the Hebrew letter of the alphabet is the lead of each verse, except for one in this case, and that being the letter N, or none, as it is in the Hebrew. It is called a psalm of praise, and the only one that is so named. David will tell us when and why we should praise him. First two verses read like this: I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. This is, I believe, really an instruction to us on when we are to praise him. And that would be every day. Every day. It gets us prepared for the time ahead when we're going to be in heaven praising him all the time. Isn't that true? You know, I don't know. You've seen the comics when you were growing up of, the wings and everybody sitting around on a cloud and they're playing their violin in heaven. That's not what it's going to be like. We will be praising him all the time, but it'll be out of, such a deep desire within us to praise a holy God. Worship and praise, blessing and loving are invaluable in and of themselves, for they free us. They really do. They free us from the dungeon of self. Our world is so self-centered. And God is continually reaching out and saying, okay, here's the ingredients to free yourself of self. Listen to what Isaiah says in the 61st chapter, the third verse. It says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Now, here's what's really interesting. Our worship leader chose to sing that song tonight, and I didn't tell him I was going to share this verse. This verse is in my notes. And so that's the Holy Spirit speaking to us here. He's sharing with us Psalm 61:3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. You know, God is nothing but pure good. Pure good, and he is to be praised. Amen? Yet man chooses not to praise him. He separates himself at a distance from God. The majority of man. I always, when I talk like that, I'm thinking about the wide and the narrow road that Jesus talks about. And it is narrow that going through the right gate. Wide is the path to destruction. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. This is a beautiful description of God. And he is full of compassion and grace, very slow to anger, and great in mercy. Don't you love that? It could read the other way. I'm a very demanding, holy God, and I am every moment looking for how I can put my thumb down on you. Some people think that's the way he is, and he is not. It says they are to speak of your glory. What that means is the Jews were blessed with the knowledge of God, but they were not to just keep the knowledge to themselves, but they were to share it with the world. Did they? They did not. They were to tell of his mighty acts and works from generation to generation. And that's really a charge for us today, that we are to share with our children, our grandchildren, from generation to generation. The Lord upholds, verse 14, all who fall, and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hands and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Our God is not like the absentee landlord that just collects rent and never repairs the roof. He knows every need in this room, even tonight. And you may be here and you may have a need that you think God doesn't know about, but he knows. And he's working it out. We just need to trust him. Every hurting soul that is bowed to him, he knows. The Lord upholds all that fall, it says. He doesn't let go of those who are stumbling. He doesn't give up on those that are slipping. And if you feel like you're falling or slipping tonight, that's the time to cry out to God. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, verse 17, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. The emphasis here in this psalm is the calling on the Lord. God can hear, and he knows your situation, but he wants to hear his children call upon his name. James 4:2 says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Listen, prayer is not just created to come to the Creator and try to get your way. It is a child coming to his father and asking for his desires. It's his desires. You know, when I was a kid, I was always had this little secret desire. Oh, I wish I had this. Or, you know, and you may have had the same type of a feeling. The relationship God is trying to describe through the psalmist here with you and I as his children is that he wants you to tell him the deepest desires of your heart. He's a loving God. The Father has directed those desires and even placed them in your hearts. Do you realize that? Some come boldly to the throne of grace and they ask. What is really sad is that the ungodly do not have anybody to share their blessings or their cry with. Psalm 146. This is the last five, these last five psalms here are the hallelujah psalms. They focus on the praising of the Lord. This psalm begins with a vow to praise God throughout life. So, let's get right into it. I'm going to read the first five verses. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth. In that very day, his plans perish. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. You know, if your hope is in man, you're on shaky ground because man's breath perishes. Man goes down into what? Dust. Man doesn't last, does he? Man is unable to help. If your hope is in your husband or your wife or even your pastor or even your church, sooner or later you will be disappointed. Happy is the man or woman, however, whose hope is in the Lord. Hope is in the expectation of coming good, and good is always found in our Lord, who made heaven and earth, verse 6, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generation praise the Lord. This psalm concludes with a description of God that truly moves me. Because he is so compassionate for the man that he has made. God loves the world. He loves his creation. And he gave his one and only son. He loved the world so much. Characters like Jacob in the Bible. You know, when you look at the characters in the Bible, except for maybe a few, they're not very good people. They're not perfect people for sure. But yet God shows his mercy and his grace, and his divine guidance to them. He certainly did in Jacob and some of those characters in these stories that we love to read. In 1 John 4:19, it says that very thing. We love him because he first loved us. That's a wonderful verse to remember at times when you're struggling. He first loved us. It doesn't qualify. You don't come into the throne room of grace and say, okay, Lord, I've decided I'm loving you now. You can pay attention to me. It isn't that way. He loved you first. He gave food to the hungry as they sat on the hillside. Jesus Christ did, didn't he? There in Luke 9:17, he loosed the prisoners of the demonic possessions. You know, how many examples did we have of that, where Jesus just chose to release that demon, cast that demon out of a tormented soul. He opened the eyes of blind. He healed the blind there in Matthew 9:29, and he restored hope to those that were downcast, downtrodden. No one was a stranger to him. it says in Matthew 11:19. And he took special care of the widow. Can anybody argue with who it was that Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Son of Man, wanted to reach? He wasn't about those that had it all together, those that were doing well. He was about those that are hurting and struggling. And so if you're one of those tonight, you have a lot of hope. When I read these things, it just makes me want to fall down and worship Him because of His compassion. Psalm 147. This psalm of praise was probably written by the time that the exiles gathered together once again in Jerusalem after being released from their captivity, probably the Babylonian time where they spent 70 years in captivity and were released to go back to Jerusalem. Verse 1, "For it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful." You know, praise is beautiful, isn't it? It didn't take me very long this evening when we came into worship to lift up really the countenance of my face. I just felt my heart being lifted up as we entered into praise. There's nothing like the smiles on you guys' faces on Sunday mornings after worship service. I get to see it a lot, so I can tell you the smiles, the gleam in your eyes, the hugs, the handshakes, the level of communication between you as you're talking with one another. The heart can be filled with praise and cause the countenance of the face to be filled and uplifted. Even the crabbiest old person that comes in can be lifted up and changed in praise service. On the other hand, you can come into this sanctuary on Sunday morning wearing a $1,000 dress or a $1,000 three-piece suit and have a heavy, empty heart, and you will be sad. It isn't about the outward look. It's about the inner heart being uplifted. Verse 2. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Isn't that extraordinary? The people that returned from the exile after 70 years had lost literally everything. You talk about trouble. They had nothing, clothes on their back probably, released from prison or slavery. Okay, you can go back to your home, but they didn't have a home other than a piece of land. Lots of cases, they had even lost loved ones. They'd never get that back. This is where God is unlike anything else in all of life. He's the giver of life and one that cares for it. He really cares about you. And He really cares about me. I don't know why, but He does. He made the universe, it says there. And He counted the stars. Do you realize that in the Milky Way alone, there are estimated to be, I don't know if they counted these, but 100 billion stars alone. Do you realize how many stars that is? If you were to count 250 stars per minute and keep that pace up for 1,000 years, you would get to 100 billion. You're probably not going to get that done, though, are you? But above everything else on that gigantic number is the fact that God named every single one of them. He's a God beyond description. Great is our Lord and mighty in power, verse 5. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. You know, he lifts up the humble. Humility, or another word for humility, meekness, is the opposite of pride. When you acknowledge your need, that's when the hand that was involved in these things I just described about hanging those 100 billion stars in the sky, he will come down and lift up even the most downcast, the most meek and mild person that's struggling. The Lord lifts up the meek. That's what he says here. But he casts down those who walk with pride, those that are puffed up in their ability to take care of themselves. I'm convinced that we are not seeing people converted to Jesus in the numbers we could and maybe we have seen in the past, because we teach the first half of verse 6, the Lord lifts up the humble, but fail to share the reality of the second phrase, the part about the wicked being cast down. You see, people have shied for a lot of years away from fire and brimstone type of preaching, but you cannot escape the fact that if you... Now, let me rephrase that. The wicked, those that reject God, are going to be judged. And we shy from saying that these days. When you talk to people about the Lord, make sure you understand the goodness and the grace of God, no doubt. But make sure that they also understand the reality of His judgment, and it's coming. Most people don't think of themselves as sinners. Do you realize that? In the society we live right now in America, most people say, oh, well, yeah, I've done a few things. I've told a few white lies. But the reality is, you are a sinner, and you have a wicked, desperately wicked heart until the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses it and sets you free. Most people don't realize they've broken the law of God to the extent that they have. We're too quick to think of just how good we really are. So we need to tell our families and our friends that don't know Him what God has said in His Word about how they have missed the mark. Romans 3:23, and you know, we have all sinned to fall short of the glory of God. For they see, they really won't see their need for a Savior unless they understand they are a sinner, separated from God for all of eternity. That's the reality. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, verse 7. Sing praises on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food, and to the young ravens that cry. You know, God cares about the food for even the ravens. All they are is a bunch of noisy, squawking blackbirds. But God cares for them. He provides for the grass to grow. And all creation wants to sing to the Lord of creation. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, in those who hope in His mercy. God does not take pleasure in the things that we take pleasure in. I'm glad that He doesn't take pleasure in my legs, and He doesn't take pleasure in my strength, or even my horse if I had one. God loves it that we fear Him. That's what God's looking for in a man or a woman. That do they have the fear of God, where they reverence the Almighty Creator, the one that gives you that next breath that you breathe into your lungs. That's what God really is interested in. A hope for a future that rests in Him. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, verse 12. Praise you, God, O Zion, for He has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. You know, although the Promised Land had no real precious stones or spices or any exotic commodities, it had the finest wheat of the region. I looked that up in Deuteronomy 32:14. It specifically says that. Deuteronomy 32:14. Verse 15, he sends out His command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out His hail like morsels. Who can stand before His cold? That's a question. Have you ever tried to count snowflakes? When I was a kid, me and my sister, I remember we were so excited when it started to snow. And we'd stand at the front window in the living room, and we'd count them as they came down. I was so excited. Have you ever tried to count the wool or the hair of the wool on the back of a sheep? Forget it. It's impossible. This is a description of His unending capacities. God can. He knows them. Who can stand or stay up against a God that sends the hailstorms? He even knows how many hail balls come down. I mean, He's God. He sends out His word and melts them. 18. He causes His wind to blow and the waters flow. He declares His word to Jacob, His statutes and His judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation. And as for His judgments, they have not known them. Praise the Lord. You know, it was with His word that God began His work of creation. We see that in the third verse of the Bible, the first chapter. It was with His word that He commanded His creation. We see that from Mark 4:39. And it is with His word that He sustains His nation, Israel. Jeremiah 15:16 says that. And it is through His word that we find salvation. In the first chapter of the book of John, verse 14. His word is powerful, isn't it? It sustains life. Isn't His word pretty much everything? Psalm 148. In this psalm, praise begins with the heavenlies. What a great hallelujah chorus this will be when all God's created intelligence in heaven and in earth will praise Him. Amen? So, here we go with a bunch of praises. First six verses, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. You know, this psalm begins by praising the Lord from earth to all of the heavens. The word praise in this psalm is used 13 times in 14 verses, and that begins in the heavenlies, but it ends in a little tiny nation called Israel. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the depths, fire and hail, sun and cloud, stormy wind, fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kind of covers it all, doesn't it? His praises, they continue here. The world and His creation, they all praise Him. Now we're going to take a look at man. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and He has exalted the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, of the children of Israel. So now we move to the highest order of creation, mankind. Because we have the privilege of knowing God more intimately, well then, we have the promise of one day being like Christ if we know and believe. Isn't that something? Man has the choice to praise Him, but many do not. How do you think it'd be? I mean, we've explained a lot tonight about the mighty greatness, the majesty, the power of God. If you were God, if I were God, how would I receive this that a majority of my creation won't praise, the highest order won't turn their hearts? They're too proud. Well, for me, you're lucky that I am not God, because I'd probably zap them, squish them like a bug. No mercy. But that isn't God. He's full of mercy. Man has that choice, and God gave it to him. When Jesus walked on earth, the winds obeyed His voice, did they not? The sea supported His feet when He walked across the Sea of Galilee. Even the rocks would have cried out if He would have let them. But what did man say? Away with Him. Get out of here. We don't need you. We don't want you. We have no king but Caesar. When He looks back, when He comes back to this earth the second time, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Psalm 149, the most important activity of the local church is to worship God. And we learn that from studying Scripture, so that they really do go hand in hand, worship and Scripture. We do that a lot right here at Calvary. This psalm is an instruction on the basic need of worship in our church. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, and His praise in the assembly of saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise His name with the dance. Let them sing praises to Him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. You know, this is an important instruction to us on worship. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. Now, we have several songs that's got that in it. Have you ever thought about that statement? You see, we tend to sing songs that are repetitious. And in fact, if we're not careful, I have been to churches where we just sing the same old songs over and over. And pretty soon, you're singing songs that really are just being mouthed with words. That leads us to complacency. we tend to tune out the heart of worship. So we need to keep new freshness in our worship. That's what he's instructing here. He's saying, let them sing aloud a new song. How do we do that? How do we keep ourselves fresh in worship? Well, I challenge you the next time you're in worship to think about the throne room that you are entering into. That God Himself is there. That you are singing with your voice a song with lyrics that have words that speak to a holy God. You're before that holy God. Worship from your heart. Get alone and write your own songs of worship at times. Take up your Bible and take a walk on a spring day like what we have coming up soon. Not today, but one with lots of sunshine. Take a walk through the city park and find a bench and flip open to some book. It doesn't matter what book. And shortly you'll find words that speak to your heart. Write a song and do like I do. Just put it to some notes and just start singing. I was singing to my cat today. She looked at me like I was crazy. And pretty soon she turned around and went the other way. I said, Molly, didn't you like that? The Lord likes that. That's the way we are to do. Keep freshness in our singing praises to Him. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, verse 6, and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all His saints, praise the Lord. As we have seen throughout the book of Psalms, our fight is not against man, but against principalities and powers that we see in Ephesians 6:12 there. How do we overcome the forces of evil? We better know this one because we're in the midst of a war and it's getting tougher and tougher. I talked to a pastor yesterday evening and I said, you know, we're going through a lot of different things at church and I just wondering, are you too? And he said, oh, jeez. He said, I've never seen it like it's been. It's because of the times we're living. How do we bind the powers that depress and defeat and discourage us? Well, we overcome the enemy by the praise of God in our mouth and that double-edged sword of the Word of God in our hand. It's hand in hand, the sword, the Word of God in our hand and praises in our mouth that come from a heart of praise. That's how we defeat. That's how we put down those fiery arrows that come. You can totally change your atmosphere if we hold on to Scripture and your mouth is filled with praise. Amen? The church must take worship very seriously and realize that worship is a part of every believer's spiritual warfare. If you don't like worship, learn to like worship because it's important. This honor, as the psalmist says, is for all saints. All right, let's finish this up. This great book, here it is, that psalm we've been looking for. The last one, 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, from this psalm, we see that God is the object of worship, and man does the worshiping. He uses things that are man-made and instruments that contribute to the quality of worship. There's no doubt about that. Some churches have a doctrine of no instruments, but boy, I don't know where they get that from. I believe the highest form of praise is the human voice, because God, the Creator, has created and given it the ability to bring Him praise. There will be instruments in heaven, by the way. So if you're not very good at playing any instrument, or if you can't play with a lick like me, then there will be singing in heaven that is clear throughout the book of Revelation. Maybe even in our glorified body we'll have the ability to play an instrument. Chapters 6, 7, 8, 11, and so on and so forth in Revelation, almost every chapter speaks of praise of some form. The great array of instruments that are listed here that we just read describe what could be an orchestra in heaven. Wouldn't that be cool? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord as it concludes, because it is the Creator that gives us that breath.